We've talked about all different angles around COVID-19, and one of the things we don't touch on as often is how the pandemic has devastated an already beleaguered live music scene in Toronto. Can it recover? Storied nightclubs like the Mod Club, the Hideout, the Orbit Room are gone forever, along with places like Round Venue, the Boat, and Alley Cats. The list doesn't include many other clubs that have DJs or occasionally have live events. A report commissioned by the Canadian Live Music Association estimates Toronto has lost $99 million in gross provincial production since last March from the closure of live music venues, and the equivalent of 1,480 full-time jobs. Councillor Brad Bradford of Beaches East York is the chair of the council's Music Advisory Committee, and he said that live music venues were struggling even before the pandemic, and everything that's happened over the last 10 months has just exacerbated those challenges. Mike Tanner is Sector Development Officer for the City of Toronto, the city's point person for the music industry, and he joins us now. Mike Tanner, thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks for having me on, Barb. Happy to come and talk about the music industry with you and your listeners.
Let's talk first about how and why music venues were struggling before the pandemic.
Sure. It's, as essential as music venues are to how we feel about Toronto as a city and, you know, how key they are to our civic identity as a city that really loves and supports arts and culture, it's been a tough go for live music venues for many years now, conditions that really kind of predate the pandemic. The situation has got to do with mostly macroeconomics. Toronto, as we all know, is an increasingly expensive place year over year, and this hits any small commercial businesses very hard indeed. Rising land values have led to, you know, increased commercial rents and increased property taxes that go with it. We've got gentrification pressures from redevelopment. One thing that maybe isn't as commonly known is that very few live music venues actually own the building in which they occupy space. So they're commercial tenants, and if the building is sold for redevelopment, I don't have a whole lot of say in what happens there. Increasingly, music venues have been having trouble securing insurance. I know this is happening in a number of other sectors as well, notably restaurants, but music venues are really feeling this in a tough way. We've heard from venues that have had their brokers approach, you know, 5 or 10 different underwriters without being able to find anybody who will write them a policy.
Why is that? What's the risk with insurance and live music venues that they're not able to get insurance?
You'd really have to check with folks who work in the insurance industry, but my understanding of it is that fewer insurers generally are dealing in entertainment businesses, hospitality, nightlife businesses, and so the pool of potential insurers is less than it used to be. And of course, as you said in your introduction, COVID has just exacerbated conditions for all kinds of sectors, including, I understand, the insurance sector. They're paying out a lot in claims, and so they're seeking to limit their liability themselves.
You know, it's funny how in a city like Toronto, there are probably a lot of people who are not connected at all to the live music scene, and this may not really factor in for them. I happen to know a number of people who are, and one of the things that they talk about is it's not just the musicians and the artists. It's all of the support people who work in that industry that are also struggling to find work.
Yes, that's very true and a very astute observation. When we go out for an evening, you know, we'll go in and we'll pay our cover charge and we'll maybe grab a drink, and then we see the artists on stage. And of course, that's the focal point of our entertainment. But as you point out, there's a whole ecosystem, as we like to call it, that supports you seeing that artist on stage that night. And that, of course, that's all of the staff who work in the venue. But you've also got audio and tech production people, lighting people, managers, agents, tour managers, promoters, PR and media people. There's an entire part of the whole music industry. In fact, live music in some ways touches almost every part of the music industry, and all kinds of related ancillary suppliers, people who provide. I mean, if you think about a live music venue, they're serving drinks. Many of them are serving food as well. Many of them are selling merchandise, and all of these things are produced and transported to the place of sale. So it's really the tip of the iceberg that we see when we see an artist on the stage.
And when we saw, even before the pandemic, sort of shrinking numbers of live music venues, it always occurs to me that you can have fewer music venues, but you're still going to have young, new artists who are people, young adults who are making music, and where do they go?
Yeah, I mean, that's so true, Barb. Music venues are real anchors for the communities in which they sit. I mean, I think they help make Toronto an attractive and appealing place for young creative people. Notwithstanding, you know, the rising residential rents, Toronto has been a place that young creatives want to come and live and make their home purely because there are these kinds of outlets, whether it's, you know, theaters or dance studios or film studios or tech hubs, and certainly live music venues fall within that group of the types of community anchors that really make neighborhoods and the city generally attractive. So it's artists, but it's also, you know, the communities that artists create. I mean, I know a lot of these live music venue operators, and they take their role as community stakeholders really, really seriously. They feel a huge responsibility to their patrons, to the staff, to the artists that they support directly, and to the communities that they curate. I mean, if you think about different genres of music or different areas of the city or different cultures within the city, live music venues really serve as meeting places, as essential gathering spots for this type of thing. And I mean, I'm sure you've talked about this on your show before, but gathering together in person as opposed to via, you know, screens is one of the things that we all miss the most in this last 11 months.
Right. And thinking about and keeping my fingers crossed about getting to a point where things start to reopen, it's hard to imagine what that will look like on the live music scene. It's hard to picture a time where, you know, you're sort of jammed in shoulder to shoulder with people you don't know. And as places reopen and there are going to be social distancing rules, it feels like it could be a long, long road to recovery for the music venues that will still be there.
Yes, I agree. And this is something that is a pretty frequent topic of conversation when we're talking with the live music venues and the promoters and the other parts of the ecosystem that I mentioned. I mean, there's going to be what public health determines is safe whenever they determine it is safe. The music venues, as I say, are, to my knowledge, very responsible. They do not want to be vectors for disease. And they're aware there's going to be issues of consumer confidence and issues around, you know, if we can normally hold 100 people in this venue, are we going to come back with 50 or 75 or 25? What is that number going to be? And then does it require that everybody is vaccinated, of course, you know, and masked and distanced? Or there are a lot of question marks around there. I mean, the report that you cited in your intro says that live music venues in Toronto contribute $850 million in economic impact and 10,500 jobs, full-time equivalent jobs, and that's a wow. Pretty sizable chunk of the tax base, of the income base, of as you said, how young people and creative people and communities are having an impact on the city, and that's not going to be easy to replace. We're doing everything we can to try to, you know, make sure that the city of Toronto, as a municipal government, supports this sector through you know, mechanisms like the live music venue tax relief program that we introduced last year, and some other measures from the mayor through council through, you know, many people who work at the city. They're very aware of the importance of this sector and how fragile it is.
All right. Well, hopefully the next time we talk, we can be talking about places starting to open up again. I know everybody is really looking forward to that. Mike Tanner, thanks so much for this.
Thank you very much, Barb. Best to you and best to your listeners and best to everybody who loves music in the City of Toronto.
Fantastic. Mike Tanner is the Sector Development Officer for the City of Toronto.